from parenting and relationships to work and moments that occasionally make us question adulthood. The in-betweeners is for everyone navigating life somewhere between I've got this and what on earth am I doing. The in-betweeners with Dylan Berger on High FM.
Kalabusha. Kalabusha.
Moving swiftly along, I've got my second guest in the studio already, which I am very, very excited to be speaking to. I know him very well, but you might not know him as well as I do. So Rabbi Jonathan Alpman is a communal leader, educator, entrepreneur, and a leadership coach. He founded the Moresha community in Cape Town, and most recently served as the rabbi of Yeshiva Mizrahi community and senior Gemara teacher. He continues his Torah learning at Osamach's Chosen Mishpat Kollel and teaches at the Keter Eliyahu Community Kollel. He also is the CEO of DoChat Commerce, a WhatsApp power platform that simplifies customer business interactions. His work is driven by passion for integrating Torah values and modern workplace. Rabbi, good afternoon. Good morning, still. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Dylan. Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's fantastic to have you. Wonderful that our paths have crossed once again. Rabbi, as I spoke to you yesterday on the phone, you've had quite an interesting journey to come to this point. You are a rabbi, a community leader. You also are an entrepreneur. And as you told me yesterday, also a tax expert. So I wanted to ask you, first and foremost, your career to date has been a balance between Torah and business. How hard or how easy has it been to have synergy in these two career paths?
Okay, thank you. I think the two parts of that which I'd like to just explore for a moment, if I can.
Sure.
I think the dual role of rabbi and business person has always been a difficult role.
I can imagine.
Just because drawn in so many different directions.
Sure.
I'll just give you an example. In 2012, I was part of a multinational project management business.
Wow.
But that was based in Johannesburg. But as you know, we were living in Cape Town. Yeah. So in 2012, I spent 48 out of 52 weeks here in Johannesburg, like from Tuesday to Friday.
Oh my God,
so I was rushing back to get in time for Shabbos to be the rabbi there. And obviously, if there was a funeral, what have you, I'd have to come back. Whatever. So that was always a bit of a tough one. But that was a bit. I suppose that is a little bit extreme. But as a general rule, I think that it's difficult because there are so many opposing forces.
Sure.
You know, a community demands an enormous amount from you, which you can imagine, on so many different levels, whether it be teaching or just pastoral stuff, emotional. Mm-hmm. People have issues they need to deal with. There's always some type of machlokas somewhere. And I don't mean that in a cynical way. I mean,
sure,
in a real way, machlokas is wide. It's between people, it's between spouses, within families, whatever the case is. And obviously, I have to balance my family as well. You know, I should have put that as part of as what I do. I'm also a father of, thank God, of seven children and husband to a wonderful wife. So there's a lot going on. But it's I enjoyed it because I've always enjoyed the commercial world, and I've always enjoyed the teaching of Torah. So the two have worked well for me. As I'm getting older, I think I have less energy than I used to have, but I still love them both, and so it's worked for me. I hope I've answered that.
Look, you're by no means old at all, but I wanted to ask you, and I'm kind of.
I did say older, not old.
Oh, okay. There we go. I'm asking you the next question, but not as a talk show host, but also for myself, because this is a tough one. Because often when people want to make advancements in their career, it comes at the expense of certain things in Yiddishkeit, whether maybe they, you know, sacrifice keeping Shabbos, keeping Kashrut properly, because they want to, you know, advance their careers, they want to get ahead in the game, they want to, you know, build themselves up. But what do you tell people when they were trying to find that balance, but between being a better Jew, growing in their Yiddishkeit, but also, you know, having a panosa and actually getting ahead in the game?
So I think a lot of it is all about emunah, about belief, and bitachon and trust in Hashem. You know, if you believe in certain immutable values, then those values are going to stay no matter what the challenges are. You know, I've been in board meetings where I realize, oh gosh, I forgot to daven mincha before the meeting.
Sure.
So in the middle of the meeting, I say to the guys, listen, I just have to go pray. Can we take a 10-minute break? And for the most part, people are very respectful of it. Obviously, Shabbos is a difficult one, especially if somebody's in like a retail space or something like that. But at the same time, that's the value you ascribe to, and if that's the value you ascribe to, and we believe in it strongly, which we should, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, is looking after us. And and it might not seem like that immediately, but the value one will get out of maintaining a strict principle, I do believe, is fundamental. It becomes demanding in a way of understanding what the red lines are.
Right.
You know,
right.
Can you go eat out in a restaurant with your clients or peers? Do you have kosher food? Is that not married? And all those different things. Those become halachic issues that need to be really properly dealt with. You know, very often we and I think this is part of where my passion for all of this kind of manifests. We very often think of Yiddishkeit as, I mean, you said it yourself, you know, Shabbos, but Yiddishkeit is much, much broad.
Correct.
Much more broad.
Very true.
And that's part that Choshen Mishpat Kolel is, that we learn in Choshen Mishpat of the laws that are the halachot of money, let's call it, for want of a better word. And it's so broad and so enormous. So sometimes we're not prepared to compromise on our Shabbos, but we are prepared to compromise, even though we might not even know about it, but we're compromising on other things.
Very true.
So
very, very true.
So it becomes it's quite a deep end.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I do believe that if one is firm on their principles, then the people they're dealing with understand and will respect. And I think the minute one creates gray lines, it's much more difficult to pull them back.
Interesting. I'm actually going to have to re-listen to this as a podcast so I can take in everything you've just said.
I'll tell you one thing that struck me. Many years ago, when I was really working with a lot of running up and down from Joburg and a lot of other people, something struck me was, how do I manifest myself as a religious Jew? Because not everybody knows that I'm a rabbi, obviously. They don't go into a consulting and say, I'm the rabbi consultant. I try to avoid
that. It's not on your business card.
Yeah. So obviously you want to bring like godliness into the workplace.
Right.
And I just found that the way I always did was to say, if people say, how are you? I would say, thank God, I'm fine.
Mm.
Just bringing Hashem in. And when I would say goodbye, I would say, God bless.
Sure.
And people very much, I found that most people very much appreciated it. Especially in South Africa, I think we have a very conservative, generally somehow connected to some type of religious experience. So I think people appreciated that, and it made me feel that I was doing something a little bit more than just consulting on whatever the issue was.
Fascinating. Thank you very much for that, Rabbi. I want to ask you that, what skills have you learned from being a community or communal leader that you've applied to business? And on the vice versa, what skills from being being in business have you applied to being a community leader?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know, I wrote it myself.
I think the most important skill that I learned being a community leader is nuance.
Okay.
That people are nuanced.
Yes.
Ideas are nuanced.
Yes.
Engagements are nuanced, and one has to really be careful with that. And I'm a very passionate person, so sometimes I react very quickly to certain things. And as I've had more experience and more learning, so I've tried to pull that back, because realizing that that's an important lesson. And also that people are complicated, and the most important thing, and this is, I was actually thinking about this over the last few days, everybody has a story.
Yes.
And in order to understand what's going on, be it in whatever environment,
sure,
one has to understand their story a little bit.
Okay.
So where it came from, if I may,
please,
is I was sitting with someone I just met at a coffee shop in the Nine Yards in Rosebank.
Oh yeah, very nice.
Which
yeah.
was lovely, and. I said to him, I just want to give you a bit of background to me so we can understand where I was coming from and what the offering was that I was putting on the table. And I told him my story of coming here for a tax consultant and running parallel with being the rabbi, and then leaving the rabbinate and going to this and going to people and all the different things that I do, and which I thought was just the story. You know, it's my story, sure, and I know it, and it's nothing that inspiring to me sometimes. But he said, "Wow, that's fascinating! What a story!" Da, da, da. And then I realized that what we think sometimes is our boring story,
right,
is actually a story that people may want to hear.
Very interesting.
And if that is the case, it also might be a story that people want us to hear.
Okay.
And I think that one of the biggest learnings is that people have stories. And people have journeys,
mm-hmm,
and those journeys take them to different places. And we are very quick to judge, especially within, they call it like in a religious environment, very quickly to judge people who go, in inverted commas, off the derech.
Sure.
But sometimes they're off the derech is actually putting them back on a derech, which may not conform with my idea of what I would want the derech to be. But that's part of it, is that everybody has a journey. And in South Africa, we're quite a conservative bunch.
Sure.
With a small C, right? and therefore our orthopraxis, I mean, our practice of orthodoxy is pretty much the same. You know, there are a few different nuances here and there, but if you go to a place like Eretz Yisrael, you've got there's such a broad spectrum of how to practice as a Jew, and absolutely. you know it always amazed me where that very sad and very poignant video of that one guy driving down to Nova on Shabbos, singing Modeani.
Sure, I know exactly what you're referring to.
You can't. How do you even imagine that? No, you know, if you wouldn't allow for nuance,
yes,
you know, and you make it all binary, it would just be an absolute mind blow. But
100%.
I think that is one of the most important lessons. I feel that.
Wow.
And now the opposite side is what, from business to community, is actually the opposite. And that is structure. I think sometimes, I mean, I know from my personal experiences that whenever things have been a little bit wonky, it's all about because there's a lack of clarity.
Right.
I do a lot of work with like the Jim Collins stuff of getting clarity and getting the right people on the bus, off the bus, etc. And it's all about clarity. I had a mentor who had a lovely saying. He said that where do you find vampires? You find vampires in the dark.
Okay.
Right? So when things are not clear, when it's not light, then there will always be someone sucking your blood.
Wow.
Someone sucking your energy because the parameters are not clear. So it's interesting. On the one hand, there's nuance. And on the other hand, there's clarity. And I think that's our balance of our lives, is to find the structure and to find the creativity and the nuance within that structure.
So if I had to ask you, as a parent to young kids, also growing in my career, also going in my Yiddishkeit. Okay, wait, before we go, Olivia, let us hold that thought. We're going to go to a quick break and we're going to carry on with that question.
Your station of choice since 2008.
And my name is Dylan Berger and I'm in studio with Rabbi Jonathan Altman and we are having a fantastic conversation and I can't wait to personally listen to the podcast recording afterwards so I can take in everything we've been talking about. But Rabbi, just before the ad break, we're about to touch on the following topic. About being a parent to young kids, growing in one's career still, also trying to grow in your Yiddishkeit and your Judaism. How do you balance it all? Like, is there a formula? Is there, you know, are there quick fixes? You know, we talk about a journey, you know, but how long is this journey? Do we need to at times accelerate it, go at our own pace, or should we actually, you know, really be going at a faster pace than we currently are going, so we can actually see some, you know, development and improvement? And
it's a very big question.
I warned you in advance that we're going to be asking deep questions.
So I think there are a couple of things. The first thing is, you know, my wife, we got Baruch Hashem 7 kids. Our oldest is 25 and the youngest is 5.
Quite a spread.
Well, she's almost 5. My wife always says, you know, she hasn't slept for 24 years or 25 years because that's the way it is. Part of our being as parents is just to, you know, be with our kids as much as we can. Is there balance? Balance, I think, is a great aspiration. But I don't think, you know, when we think about balance, we always think about this the scales in balance. But a scale balanced doesn't really mean that it's always on the same level, that the two sides are on the same level.
I find.
Because you can also have balance where the one is one, you know, where the.
Correct.
Depending
correct.
On how. On the levels where they level each other out. And I think that's really about how our lives are. They're not balanced. They're balanced in the way we've created the balance, and the balance will depend on what we see as priorities. That's heavier than that. So you may do more of some stuff. Right, but the heavier stuff is what you're going to really engage in a much more meaningful way. It's not really about the time; it's really about the meaningfulness of what we spend our time doing. The biggest difficulty is, as we're trying to rear our children and bring them up and give them the values, is to make sure that we are still heavily connected into the value system that we believe in.
Right.
And the only way I believe, and I really believe this strongly, and it's not rabbi speak. I really believe the only way we can do that is by advancing ourselves as people. As a Jew, how do we advance ourselves? We learn Torah.
Right.
What do we learn? That's a different discussion.
That's
that, again, is about everybody's story.
Sure.
You know, a person who's been to yeshiva for 10 years who, you know, is not going to pick up an art scroll book that's, you know, the lifestyle of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. You know, that's not going to work for him
or her.
Correct. But for someone who's getting into things, there's certain things. But I think the learning, there's a concept in kashrut, kabolo kach polto, what in the same way as it absorbs, so too it gives out. And that's the same as us. Whatever we absorb, if we are constantly absorbing newness and new learnings and new development in ourselves, and Yiddishkeit, then we'll be able to give that out to others.
Sure.
And again, it's about where do we put the priorities and what they are and where they're going to be. And I think that's a very individual story.
Love it, Rabbi.
So Dylan, we got a lot of work to do. Huh?
We got a lot of work to do. I'm starting to think while I'm standing, I'm starting to like analyze my one's own life. But as you said, we're all on a journey. We all got a story, and I must be honest, this has been an absolutely fantastic conversation, which I have really thoroughly enjoyed. Just before we wrap up, just maybe touch base on some of the things that you're currently working on.
Okay. So the main entrepreneurial side is a WhatsApp platform that allows for integration with inventory systems, any inventory system, which allows us to, instead of using an app or a web-based, sales platform, we can do the whole thing through WhatsApp. It's quite fascinating. And it's got, so you can bring everything into WhatsApp. You don't need any other platforms, or you can use this as an additional one. We're doing it with some hotels, with retail spaces. We're trying to grow that. It allows you to, for example, you want to create a membership base. You can just get them to do it via WhatsApp. They don't have to go into a Google form. It's amazing. All done through WhatsApp, which is quite nice. That's the one thing. And the other thing is coaching executives, which I enjoy a lot because I learn a lot from them, and hopefully they learn from me.
And I was going to say, it works both ways. Rabbi Jonathan Alpin, it's been a fantastic conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And thank you so much for coming through into studio and for your time on such short notice. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you, Dylan. Good luck with this. It's fantastic.